The Holy Gospel for the fourth Sunday in Lent is recorded in the Gospel of St. John, the 9th chapter. Jesus heals a man born blind, provoking a hostile reaction that he regards as spiritual blindness to the things of God. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind. And they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us? And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, Surely we are not blind, are we? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, We see, your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be. Well, normally at this time, Pastor Mark or myself would invite the children up for children's time. But for some reason, I don't see them today. They're sleeping in. But perhaps you are, as Pastor Mark said, also in your jammies today. And I want you to know that Pastor Mark and I miss you because you brighten up our Sundays with your presence. And we look forward to seeing you again soon. In the meantime, just a couple of things. Gracia has emailed to your family a piece from Faith Incubators called the Faith Five, something for you to work on at home as a family. These are days when families need to share their highs and lows. And these are also days where we benefit from reading a Bible verse or story and then talking about it. And of course, we benefit by bringing all of our feelings to God in prayer, knowing that God always hears the prayers of God's people. And then finally today, I want you as families to remember to bless one another. Trace the sign of the cross on each other's forehead after you wash your hands. And then remember that you belong to God and to one another. As we move forward now in time, we will have additional resources available through our Facebook page or our website. You will find children's bulletins that you can print out for your own use at home. So again, to all the children today, miss you and your smiling faces, and miss the way you brighten our days. But we will look forward to seeing you soon. Thanks be to God. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I have officiated at over 500 funerals in my 33 plus years as a pastor. Now, that is not exactly something that I'm proud of, but it's a reality. My first call was in Litchfield, North Dakota, to the Litchfield Hastings Parish, where I had the privilege of serving three congregations for 12 years. It was in that parish that I met my wife. It was in that parish where our daughter was born. From 1987 until 1994, I had officiated at 100 funerals. My colleague in Marion, North Dakota, decided to give me a gift to memorialize that occasion. He used his wood-burning kit and made me a tombstone to put on my desk. The tombstone had this carved in it: In honor of your 100th funeral, may you rest in peace. Well, I didn't know what to say when he gave me that gift. But as I think about those 100 funerals. I remember there was a common thread in almost all of them. Without fail, the families would usually request, "How Great Thou Art" and "Amazing Grace" for the hymns, and Psalm 23 for one of the scripture readings. And at the time, I remembered my seminary education, which was still very fresh in my mind. After all those years at seminary filled my mind with all kinds of new knowledge, I had James Limburg for Psalms, a very gifted theologian. And I discovered the wonder of those 150 psalms, the prayer book of Israel, their hymns. There were so many other great psalms that would be just as appropriate for a funeral. I had Gracia Grindel for hymnody. She did a lot of the translation from Norwegian to English when the Green Lutheran Book of Worship was being put together. She was a very gifted and wonderful musician and great craft in putting words together. She gave us pages of hymns for funerals that would be so appropriate, that would speak so well. Why, then, did we always have Psalm 23? Why did we always have "How Great Thou Art" and "Amazing Grace"? Well, I discovered something. When I was at seminary, I found that sometimes that environment is somewhat removed from the world. And that old adage comes to mind. You know, our pastor, he's so heavenly, he's no earthly good. My parish brought me down to earth. And now that I'm older, I'm also hopefully a little smarter, because those hymns and those texts calm us and they center us. And today we need to be calmed and we need to be centered. And so we begin today looking at the words of the psalmist, Psalm 23. And those great, great verbs. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. I think of that a little this morning. Lie down in green pastures. What does that mean? To lay one's life down surrounded by life. Green grass. Even though today we still, in this early spring, are surrounded by vestiges of winter, the grass will get green again. COVID-19 or not, the grass will get green and we should go out and lay down on it. He leads me beside still waters. The current of life today is so rapid, it seems to almost be waves overwhelming us. Every day the news changes. The water is running faster and faster. I can't keep up. Still waters that will center me. Just looking down into water that is still can calm my soul. And for me today also, to look at that section of Psalm 23, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. To me, that almost does not seem as though it's written correctly. If we are in the presence of an enemy, are we going to just sit down at table? I think it should say, run. But no, in the midst of being surrounded by an enemy, Jesus prepares a table and says, sit down. No matter how rapidly life is changing right now, sit down at my table. I want to feed you. I want to feed you with words of hope. I want to feed you with gifts of grace. I want to calm your soul and center yourself. And so today, no matter where you are, sit, knowing that the presence of God is surrounding you and embracing you. You are at a table prepared as a gift for you and for me. Our heads are anointed with oil. Our cup is running over. God always comes to us in abundant ways. We just don't always see it. And then let's move to the center of Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I suppose today we have to be honest with ourselves. The shadow of death seems to be looming ever closer. But it's a shadow of death. A shadow of death, a shadow has no power because light on a shadow makes it go away. And so sometimes I think as God's people, we fail to remember that the light of the world is with us. And so if the shadow is over us, we need to move into the light. I have always said that Scripture is timeless and timely. Scripture is timeless because it's written beyond time for all of time. That is how Scripture is timeless and will always be timeless. But Scripture is always also timely. As Pastor Mark and I were visiting earlier, next week's text is also very timely. Had we been gathered here on the fourth Sunday in Lent, during another time, maybe Psalm 23 and John 9 would not have spoken to us in the same way. But today, the gospel is so timely because of that repeated event, go and wash. Somehow to me, that seems to speak in a new way today. And first, what I like about it is Jesus does not follow CDC guidelines. Did you notice that? When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud in the man's eyes. Wow. I don't think we want to go home and try that today. But maybe it says something. Jesus is not afraid to get his hands dirty, to do good in the world. He spits on the ground and makes mud and goes right to this man's face and puts the mud on his eyes. And out of that, getting his hands dirty, Jesus performs a miracle and gives this man back his sight that he had never had. So maybe today we need to think a little bit about that. We know it's important to wash, but what is it connected to? He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see. I washed, and now I see. Maybe this is a time and an opportunity for you and I, as God's people, to think a little bit about that. We're focusing on washing right now. But does it change the way we see? I think maybe today is a time for us to think about looking at the world in a new way, seeing the world differently. You and I, and speaking for myself, take a lot for granted today. We make a lot of assumptions. We take a lot for granted and we expect a lot. And suddenly, today, everything is different. Maybe today is a way for us to look at how we live together differently. How do we really connect? You and I in our society have become very disconnected. We become very individualistic. And we see examples today of how that is not a good thing. I make sure that I stock up on everything I need now and for the next 27 years. And if you haven't done that, too bad. I need to take care of self. No, Jesus has a different way of looking. You need to be connected with one another. I need to be connected with one another. Maybe this moment in time, this surreal kind of Lent that we're in this year, is a different but maybe good opportunity for you and I as the body of Christ to be more thankful. to be more appreciated of what God does for us daily that so often is taken for granted. And so today, I hope you still wash and take care, but I also hope that you join me in looking now with those freshly washed hands and faces out into a world in a new way, so that we continue to go to the cross where we will always find the gift of life. Thanks be to God. Amen.